Vantage Point, the broadcast ministry of St. Mark's Institutional Baptist Church. This is Reggie Lawrence, the pastor of St. Mark's, and I'm glad to welcome you to the Wednesday morning edition of Vantage Point. Today, we're going to continue our look at choices. On yesterday, we looked at the fact that God chooses us. We saw in Ephesians chapter 1 that he chooses us and has chosen us from before the foundation of the world. Today, we want to continue the theme of choices and look at the choices that we make. Our text for today's lesson is Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 19 and 20. Let me say this about Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy means the second law, and it is given at the close of the wilderness wanderings of the children of Israel. Moses has been leading the children of Israel for 40 years in the wilderness. That 40-year sojourn in the wilderness actually followed another 40 years that he had spent in the wilderness tending his father-in-law's sheep. Moses is here exercising national leadership. He's leading the people at an historic moment in their history, the moment at which they are preparing to cross the Jordan River into the Promised Land. That's a noteworthy point because at any given point in time, a people stand at the cusp of potential greatness, of good things, of moving to another level. And Moses' leadership at this historic moment is illustrative of what we ought to consider as we stand at the cusp of our greater days. He summarizes his leadership history with an emphasis on the people's role, the role that the people have in their own salvation. He talks about how they are to be blessed. And let's look at that passage in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 19 and 20. I'll be reading from the New King James. You follow along at home. Verse 19 reads, I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice, that you may cling to him, for he is your life and the length of your days, and that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them. He tells them how important it is for them to choose between life and death, blessing and cursing at this point in their history. He has taught them how to be blessed, by the Passover, the discipline of the Passover. There were things that the people needed to do if they were going to receive the protection of the Passover, how they were to have faith at the crossing of the Red Sea. Don't panic because the Egyptians are coming up behind you and the Red Sea stands before you, but have faith, and their faith saw them cross the Red Sea on dry land. The obedience that was required by the law. Moses was the lawgiver. He gave the Ten Commandments to the people, but the Ten Commandments demanded obedience and how to live as an obedient people under the law of God. How to meet God in the tabernacle. Tabernacle worship. The worship system of ancient Israel was given by Moses while they were in the wilderness. The devotion that was necessary, the sacrifice that was necessary. These are all things that are prerequisite to receiving the full blessings of God, and how to accept the discipline of manna. The people were in the wilderness without any real means of support, and so they received a miraculous dispensation of manna from heaven on a daily basis, but that took discipline. They weren't to take more than one day's manna. They were to receive the manna on the day and then have faith to wait for the manna on the second day. how to be blessed was one of the major themes of Moses' leadership all throughout these 40 years, but also how to avoid being cursed. We ought to consider that for a moment. What is it like to be cursed? To be cursed is to live life without God. We get a picture of that from the first Psalm. Psalm 1 talks about two people, the one who is blessed and the one who is not blessed or cursed. It says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in that law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." That is a picture of the blessed man. The blessed man is not living by the counsel of the ungodly, nor is he scornful, nor is he sinful. But he's attempting to live by the law of God, and he stands where he's planted, and he brings forth his fruit in season. His leaf doesn't wither, and what he does shall prosper. He lives the blessed life because he lives under the discipline of God's involvement in his life. That psalm goes on to say, "But the ungodly are not so. They are like the chaff which the wind driveth away." The ungodly are not stable in their doings. Their activities, their accomplishments may seem right for a period of time. They may seem good for a period of time, but they don't last. They're not rooted. They're not solid. They're not built for the long haul. We learn the discipline of being blessed and the disciplines associated with avoiding the curse. The bottom line is that Moses says to his people, "I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose life." Moses makes it clear we have a choice. Our leadership today needs to make it clear to us that we always have that choice. We choose whom we believe. We need to believe in faith, or we will go down in fear. These are difficult times for our nation, difficult times for our community, difficult times perhaps for our families and for us individually. But you know that faith and fear cannot occupy the same space at the same time. We need to live by faith and not by fear. And we have the choice to choose whom we will believe and how we shall walk. Walk by faith and not by sight. We choose our way. We choose the path that we take. The Bible has a verse that says, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is the ways of death." We choose the way that we take. It may be the more difficult way. It may be the way less traveled. It may be the way that goes by self-sacrifice. It may mean that we can't enjoy all of the things that we might want to enjoy along the way, but it's the path that leads to the destination that is best for us, best for our families, best for our community. We choose our companions along the way. Back to Psalm 1, he says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful." We choose our companions along the way. We ought to choose those who are going the way we're going and not who are pulling us in an opposite direction. And then we choose our destiny. We choose where we want to go. That means at least we plan where we want to see ourselves. We plan where we want to see our families. We plan how we'd like to see our communities develop. We have the choice. Moses said it well. "I set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Choose life." The consequences of choice, and we ought to underscore this fact, choice has consequence. First, choice impacts future generations. All of our actions, all of our thoughts, all of our words are in fact seeds that are planted in the soil that we have prepared, the soil of the minds of our children, the soil of our community. We are planting and sowing the seeds of our future today with the decisions we make today, the ideas we encourage today. And we ought to see them as seeds because they will bear fruit in future generations. That text that we've read in Deuteronomy chapter 30 says that both you and your descendants may live. We are living in the blessings of those who went before us. Think about the grandparents who didn't have the advantages that we have, didn't have the resources, didn't have the tools that we have, and how their sacrifices have resulted in the lives that we are able to live today. Think about those who will come after us and the legacy that we ought to be leaving them, the tools that we ought to put in place for them. This is what it means to choose life, not just life for me, but life for my children, life for my grandchildren, life for my community, life for those whom I may not even know, but I can make a good choice for them when I make a good choice for me. Secondly, our choices ought to impact the quality of our lives. More than even the quantity of our lives, we need to live well. We need to live a good life. We need to live a life that is fruitful. We need to bear fruit in our associations. We ought to bear fruit from our efforts. We should get involved in the community. We should get involved in our churches, in our schools. Our PTA meetings ought to be overflowing with parental participation. We ought to have Boy Scout and Girl Scout troops, or Boys and Girls Clubs and Little League should proliferate throughout our cities. If the city cuts recreation programs, then let us start recreation programs. We need to have a fruitful life that brings up the quality of life for all of us. And then thirdly, our choices build the beloved community. I'm enamored with this idea. I've turned to it recently because it was one of Dr. Martin Luther King's favorite statements that he wanted to see us build the beloved community. That is the community where God's love rules. God loves us. We love God. We love one another. The Bible is clear. That is the central obligation that we have toward ourselves, humanity, and our God. And when that is operating, we have the beloved community. It will take a lot of work to get there, but we can get there if we start to work, if we start to believe, if we start to commit ourselves to the service that should be a part of everyday life. But all of that begins with the choices that we make. We are to choose life. We are to choose blessings. God has the blessings if we would but choose them. Well, that's our vantage point for today. This is Reggie Lawrence, pastor of St. Mark's Institutional Baptist Church. If you're able to come and be with us this weekend, I'd love to have you at 655 North Bentlow Street in West Baltimore. But this is, for right now, Pastor Lawrence for Vantage Point, and until we meet again, keep looking up.